We'll reflect on a number of these passages from Isaiah. To start, I read from verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Throughout this teaching in Isaiah 52 and 53, it's very clear that Jesus bore all sins for the world. And that's taught in other places in Scripture too, of course. However, when we see and read the narrative from Holy Week, all the things that happen, we see that at first the people, like on Palm Sunday, when they received him as king, they said he was a good man, he's a prophet, even the son of David, the Messiah. But as the week went along, we see that many people saw that Jesus and believed that Jesus was not good, but that he was actually evil. That's why you kill somebody. Because they're evil to you. And that's what the chief priests said, according to St. John. This man, if he continues like this, he's going to take away our nation. He's going to take away our place. He's a bad guy. He needs to be killed. Pilate saw Jesus as a big political problem, and he just wanted to wash his hands of him. Go ahead, take him, kill him. King Herod saw Jesus as, well, maybe show me some miracles. That would be good. But Jesus wouldn't. So just take him away. And then we know so many in the crowd said, crucify him. So many people saw Jesus actually as evil. And Isaiah writes this and confesses this himself in 53, verse 4. For he says there, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we, and then it's first person plural, including Isaiah himself, we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Isaiah is saying, everybody, when they looked on the Savior, the servant of the Lord that he prophesies about here, would consider that he was bad and being punished by God. We considered him being punished, smitten by God. He's a bad guy. But we know that Jesus wasn't evil. He was the Holy Son of God. But he carried our evil sins, all evil sins, he carried to take them far away from us. When in verse 6, Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That very literally is speaking about what we thought about several Wednesdays ago, the Day of Atonement. When the high priest, one of the things the high priest would do, he would take two goats. Do you remember that? And one goat would be killed, and the blood of one of the goats would be used in front of the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, in other places. But the goat that remained living, God said, that is the goat that you confess all the sins of Israel on the head of that goat, press down on the head of that goat, and confess all the sins of Israel that they have done the whole year, past year. Then take that goat out in the wilderness, and those sins are taken away. And that was the instruction for them to do every year. Jesus is that last, final, great scapegoat that takes the sins away. That language there, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, is the language of that scapegoat. That is put on Jesus, and he takes it away. So Jesus, in that sense, was evil because he bore our evil. He wasn't evil himself. But he bore our evil and took it away. In all this suffering that Jesus did for us, Isaiah prophesied that he would not even open his mouth. He did not complain. He did not strike back. But he wanted to do this. He would willingly bear our sin. And that's the second part. Jesus willingly bore our sins. I don't know. I didn't underline the corresponding part, and I should have. But so I don't know if you caught it. But in Luke 22, the gospel reading, in verse 37, I did underline this. For I tell you, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. They've had the Lord's Supper. He's done extra teaching with them, as recorded in John. And now they're getting ready to go to the garden. And Jesus says, for I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. That is verse 12, the last verse of this song of the suffering servant. Jesus says, for what is written about me has its fulfillment. He says, I am that one. I am that one. Right to his disciples. And thus, all the preceding verses, this whole song is about Jesus. Jesus just says it straight out. I'm that one. It's going to be fulfilled in me. And so Jesus willingly knew. He knew that this was about him, and he willingly did this because he knew it was the will of the Father. In verse 10, it says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Jesus knew that God's plan was there would be a final sacrifice of his son, and he was willing to do that. He was willing to be crushed. Why did this have to happen this way? And maybe, I don't think so, but if I die in 20 years or 25 years or 15 years, maybe I'll begin to understand everything that's in this prophecy. It's amazing, because I was just preaching at the 1 o'clock service and I saw something else again. And that is verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall be satisfied. And if you think about those contrasting thoughts, it doesn't make sense. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. When was Jesus' soul in anguish and yet still satisfied? It is finished. He accomplished it. And what had he accomplished? You keep reading that very same verse, verse 11. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. It is finished. The work is done. The iniquities are borne. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. His soul is in anguish, and yet he sees the victory is done. That is why Jesus did this, because he wanted to save. He wanted the same thing as his Father wanted. We hear that conversation very clearly in the garden. Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. Peter wrote, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Again, that just contrasting thought. How do the wounds of Jesus heal me? He heals me because it takes that sin and bears it away. All the evil that people have, he bore away from them. And thus they have healing and peace from God. This was the will of Jesus to do this for us. And he says it so clearly in that passage from Luke 22, for I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For what was written about me has its fulfillment. This we his disciples must know Jesus has done for us. And thus we have peace with God and we have healing from God. And so that no matter what is happening around us, that peace and healing from God cannot be taken away, for Jesus has done it. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who bore our iniquity and sins far away from us. And we believe that he has done this for us. So we ask you to continue to strengthen our faith, to know this is true, to know that we have healing from you, to know that we have peace from you, which the world cannot take away, for Jesus has overcome the world. All these things, dear Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the sermon hymn 420.